Yeah. Okay, yeah. I don't think Nick needs any further kind of presentation, and you can just right, give him a hand.
All right. Woo! Woo! Cool. He still like just got off the airplane here. Thanks for having me, guys. I always love coming back to Hyper Island because you guys are so awesome. And I seriously don't say that like a rock band would in every city. Like, you guys are the best school or whatever. I don't say that too often. I like coming here because you guys are always real passionate about stuff. And it always seems to be a split in a lot of schools where it's like 80% of the students kind of don't care and 20% do. And I find it more than flipped here. It's like 90-10. So, I mean, if you're the 10%, sorry. But you guys care, and you guys always have good work, and you seem to be on top of it. So I always like coming here, especially talking. So what I'm not going to do is do that thing that I do, hopefully, that you've seen before, if you've seen me ramble on about doing better work or working harder or deadlines and blah, 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 and waving my arms around. I'm going to try not to do that today. I want to talk to you guys about some of the stuff I've run into that's maybe more difficult, or I'm going to try to come at it from a different side because I like you guys, because I like the school and the way that you guys are already kind of have a heads up on a lot of stuff. So I'll try not to do the normal you need to work harder spiel. Instead, what we're going to do is I want to tell you a little bit about why I got into what I got into, and some of the reasons I got into what I got into, and also some of the things that I screwed up, some of the things I did well. And when I like watching people speak and wave their arms around, and what I usually get out of it isn't a lot of new information. It's usually somebody confirming what I already know, and it's seeing somebody else that's gone through something I've gone through, or seeing somebody else that has had the same problems I've had, or had the same similar story, or something that usually makes me, A, feel like I'm not a total weirdo, and B, makes me realize that I'm not totally screwing everything up. And when I see somebody else that says something that makes sense to me, it usually already makes sense to me. Now it just makes more sense to me because maybe they said it in a slightly different way. So hopefully I'll be saying something that resonates with what you guys are having problems with, or having, you know, good things with. And if you find one of those, just write it down or think about it and try some of that stuff out again, or maybe think about doing it the next day. If I'm going to say something that doesn't make sense, don't write it down. Don't listen to me. Because it always comes back to what you're into, and it always comes back to knowing that, this sounds silly, you already have everything you need. You just need to do it, right? So I'm going to tell you my story. I'm going to show you my reel. If you're not familiar with my work, so let's see if we can do this. Thinking of it. So I come from a motion graphics background, and this is kind of what I've made up till about 2008. And I'm so sorry I don't have a newer reel. But this will give you an idea of kind of like my style and things I get into. And then this will hopefully set up a little bit of the story on how I got into this stuff. And, ooh, music. Am I audioed up? Yeah, sweet. Okay, cool. Let's do it. That's it, play.
So fair, let it go on and on. Dressing gown. Get yourself to bed. Blow out that cherry bomb. Oh, life could be so fair. Let it go on and on. I could lay you down.
Hopefully that'll give you a little bit of a background on kind of where I come from and what I've been doing for the last whatever years. But I want to talk about how I ended up making that stuff and kind of a little bit about how I grew up in Michigan and figured out that I wanted to do this stuff. And not because I want to tell you my life story, but because I think there's elements in everyone's story on how they get somewhere that hopefully, like I said earlier, like resonates with where you guys are, what your upbringing was. I was always into figuring out how things worked. My favorite toys as a kid were things like Marble Works, which are these like marble things. You could build little racetracks and race marbles. Slot cars, you know, you can hook tracks together and race cars. And things like Legos and Kinects and Constructs and all those things. And I think the reason I was in all that stuff is because there was already building blocks and already things I could grab and make brand new things out of stuff that already existed. Somebody else took the time to build the curved track and the straight track and the crisscross track and the loop track. And it was me that actually came along and grabbed all those little parts and made a totally different track than what I could buy at the store. And that was great. I could go buy bulk turns and make like a whole circle loop that went up, and then I could build all this crazy stuff. Same thing with Legos. It's a building block. It's a tool that allows me to grab pre-made objects and snap them together and create something that nobody else has made, but not from scratch. Like, I'm not molding out of clay, and I'm not, you know, drawing on paper on a white space. I'm actually taking blocks and elements that have already been built halfway and just connecting them together in the right way to make something new, something that I like to play with. Video games were a good example of this. I grew up in, you know, the video game kind of generation. And video games are similar because there are really strict rules in a video game that you can come into, and, you know, you only have two buttons, and you can only go one way. Like, if you think of Mario or something like that. All I know is I have to go right, and I could run and I could jump, and that's it. That's the only thing I have control over. But now I'm going to take those controls and figure out this system and make a different game every time, or be better at it the next time I play. And that was always the way, I think, looking back at it, I approached my fun time. I always wanted things that I could do something new with every time. And so that has always been stuff I get into, things like Transformers and, you know, that kind of ability to create something that is new but isn't from scratch. And I stress the not from scratch part because this comes into play a lot later when we talk about how I learned design and how I can't draw or shit. And I think the reason that is because this white paper, this you know, give me something empty and make something new out of it, didn't click with me. I needed tools, and I needed rules really to fight with. Things like, I have to use let's take Legos, I have to use not only these size Legos, right? So I only had we didn't have crazy Legos back then, they were just all square. And, you know, we had to hook them all together. And not only that, but I had to hook them all together, and I only had a certain amount of Legos. So now I had more restriction and more reasons to think about what I was doing up front and then build something that I could. So as I grew up a little bit, slightly, I got into music. Music was a thing that really intrigued me because with music, there's just 12 notes. That's it. Western music anyway. Western music is all 12 notes. Every piece of music you've heard is 12 notes. And think about the constrictions and the restrictions that brings music, and how that spoke to me. And I looked at a piano, and there's, you know, There's only 12 notes, but in an octave, there's 88 keys all the way up. And those 88 keys represented all the music that you can play on a piano, anything. And that spoke to me in a way that I wanted to learn. I wanted to figure that game out. And it wasn't that I wanted to create beautiful music or play what this guy had or whatever. I wanted to figure out how people did this. So I started taking piano lessons. And I had some good teachers, some bad teachers. The good teachers were the ones that talked to me and said, listen, it's a system. It's 12 notes. It's scales. It's math. This is how the tones are represented. There's a major. There's a minor. This is how it feels. This is how you can make a minor chord. It wasn't just practicing scales. It wasn't just learning how things worked on a global scale. It was actually somebody telling me that these are the building blocks of music, and these are the rules, and this is how you create music. There's a verse, there's a chorus, there's a verse, there's a bridge, there's another chorus, and then you're out. And when I learned that stuff, when I learned the building blocks, it's then when I could really dig into music and take those 12 notes and not only learn how other people made music and try to learn Beatles songs and do all that crap, but then figure out how I can make music too. How can I take these 12 notes and turn it into something that I made? And so music was the thing for me that I got really geeked out into. And that led into things like, four tracks, and I learned guitar and I learned drums, and I figured out how to not just play music, but how to record music. Because that, again, was just the next thing in the step of crap I needed to figure out. It wasn't enough just to listen to good music, and hopefully I did. But it was also that I wanted to make good music, and I wanted to record good music. I wanted my drum sound to be better than it was, and I wanted my guitar tone to be better than it was. And the only way to do that was to do it. The only way to learn all that stuff was... And this is, before the internet, too. So I had to get it and take it home and play with stuff and try to find magazines and figure out where to set up a microphone to make my guitar sound better, to record it into a four-track cassette deck, right? And so this was my thing. This was my thing for years, was playing music, learning how to play better, learning how to record better, getting an 8-track instead of a 4-track. And then computers, I could finally get my own computer. I was growing up a little bit more. Got my computer. Now I have 8 tracks I could record at a time. I have 24 tracks I could play back. I have all this technology now that's feeding into it. And it was all driven by the idea that I want my stuff to sound like my heroes. And I want to play like my heroes. I want to play guitar like, I had blues heroes. I was a blues guitar guy. And I wanted my stuff to sound like, good producers. And the only way I could do that was to play and play and play and play. Well, it was in that stage when I realized that if I took this career, it was also that stage when I was like, oh, crap, I got to get a job, right? I had a lot of weird jobs and whatever, and all my, what was I, like 19, 18, 19? Let's call me 18. I was about 18, and my parents were like, "You need to go get a real job, and you should probably think about school and all this stuff." And I was like, "Well, I'll just do this music stuff. I'm going to go be a recording engineer. I'm going to do all this stuff." And I figured out I had to go work with a bunch of assholes to do this job, and that scared me a lot. And by assholes, I mean me. I mean I'm an asshole. Like I had to go work with musicians, and musicians are like pain in the ass, and they're late, and they're jerks, and they're not fun to hang around with, right? And that's okay. A lot of my best friends are jerks, and I don't like hanging around with them. But I could leave. I don't get paid to hang around with them. If they're being a jerk, I could leave. That's the cool part. But as my job to go hang around with a bunch of jerks that wanted to maybe not show up on time or... be diva about stuff, or be drunk too much, and whatever. I decided that that was not my career path. It wasn't recording bands, it wasn't showing up. And I was recording my friends' bands, and I had this problem. I can't imagine recording some friend of a friend's band, or some guy that just paying me money. Maybe he's more of a jerk. So it became known to me that this was going to be a hobby. I knew it was going to be a hobby, but I had no clue what the heck I wanted to do. I had side jobs here and there. And when I saw motion graphics that on TV for the first time, and the type of motion graphics I was into, or I eventually got into, the first time I saw that was MK12 on TV, and they had one of their pieces on like a late night show, and I was like, crap, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. How did they do that? And at the end, it said made with After Effects, and I said, well, that there's the new thing. Whatever that After Effects thing is, my new thing. So I spent the next 3, 4, 5 years obsessing over learning After Effects. That was my new tool. That was my new obsession. That was my new, how the heck did they make that? I want to make stuff like that. While, when it used to be music, I've got to shut my thing off. Hopefully that pops up. When I used to make music, it was music. That was my obsession. Every day it was like, how do I get a better microphone? How do I get a better tone? How do I learn to play guitar better? And as soon as I saw that After Effects stuff, I realized that was it. That was my thing. I could sit in front of a computer and figure out how all this stuff is made and built. And then I don't have to hopefully work around a bunch of musicians and jerks. I just have to work around a bunch of artists. And they have their own problems, but they're not as much of a jerk as a lot of musicians are. So this was great. This was perfect. So there I was, learning After Effects. There I was. Like an author or something. So I'm learning After Effects, and I'm ignoring all my friends, and I'm not doing anything. I'm like obsessed over this. I found some VHS training. That'll date me a little bit, but VHS training that I could pop into my VCR and watch and learn After Effects and do this whole thing. And I get through it, and I start buying more training, and I start learning more and more and more. And I'm going through the whole process of learning about After Effects. Every button, every tutorial I could find, and there weren't tutorials online. I had to get all these tapes, right? Every tape I could find and watch, and every book I could find and read about After Effects and what it did, and how do you time remap stuff, and how do you green screen crap, and how do you roto stuff out, and how do you change colors, and how do you do all this stuff. And I learned it. I learned every button in After Effects. And I decided that was my job. That's what I wanted to do. I needed to get a degree. You know, that was part of the whole kind of parents thing. And you need to go get this degree, get a real job. And that's what I did. So I went to Chicago, and I went to kind of a tech/design school and learned, went there for motion graphics. And it was kind of not a motion graphics thing. It was like video / motion graphics stuff. But it was supposed to be a more general kind of learn everything, a little bit about the web and whatever. But it was there when I figured out that even though I knew everything about After Effects, as far as what all the buttons did, what all the plugins did, how to animate, how to move the camera around, how to light things, what I really, really quickly realized was my stuff was ugly. Ugly, ugly, ugly. And I didn't know why. Like, I spent the last couple years learning every button, and I couldn't find that button that made it better looking. And luckily, I had some really good teachers at school that showed me why my stuff was so ugly. And they were really nice about it. So, first day of school, I moved to Chicago, moved to this big city, and I'm walking around learning the trains, and I'm, you know, like the Muppet movie or something. I'm looking up at all the buildings, and I get to school, and my first teacher shows up, and he's this bigger guy, it's Chuck, and he's like, welcome. This was the first class. This is first day, first class, and it's also kind of a beginner class. It's a welcome to the design world. And the class was designed to make sure that what you're into is what you're into. So they taught you a little bit about everything and then made sure you're in the right program or something. So here he is, and he goes, welcome to the class. This will be a really hard class. If you had any plans for the next 12 weeks, you might want to cancel them, or else you might fail this class. You wouldn't want to do that. It's a big waste. If... we're gonna draw a lot of stuff. I'm like, oh crap, So bad at that. We're going to make a lot of stuff. We're going to print things out on paper. We're going to move them around, and we're going to frame them. If your frame is off by a quarter inch, you will fail. If you are late more than 5 minutes, you will fail. And he's going on and on about this stuff, and I'm sitting there like, part of me's like, this guy's awesome. This is great. And part of me's like, crap, I got to draw. And so you leave class, and I'm really excited. I'm excited about it because I'm like, I've never had this type of way of learning. It was just me in a VHS tape or me in a magazine or me in, you know, I hated school. I hated high school. I screw that place. Like, I never sat in a classroom and really had great teacher. I had one. I have to say, this is being recorded. I had a really good high school teacher, but for the most part, let's say two. But for the most part, it was a bunch of, like, boring stuff, teaching stuff to kids that didn't want to learn it, and I was finally in a class with all these people that I assumed got into the school to learn all this crazy stuff, and here's the teacher saying, I'm going to teach you everything. I'm going to really show you guys how to do it, but I need your help, and you have to do your part, or else I'm going to fail you. And that was so exciting to me, and I got into my second class that day, and it was a typography teacher. And I didn't know anything about typography. I just knew there was a big list of fonts that some looked cooler than the others, and one looked like a cowboy, and that's all I knew. And I didn't know what, you know, serif and sans serif typefaces were, and I didn't know kerning, and I literally picked whatever typeface the book told me to type, and that's how I did all these tutorials, and I didn't think about it. I didn't know that there was a difference. And so this type teacher was like, kind of similar. She was Jiwon. She goes, we're gonna hand paint typefaces. You're gonna go to the art store. You're gonna get paint. You're gonna get paper. You're gonna go home and you're gonna figure out what typeface you want. You're gonna have to hand paint it. You want to make a poster? We're not using computers. We're using scanners. You need a bigger font. You put the font in the scanner. You print out a bigger version of the font. You cut it out with scissors and you glue it all next to each other. And that's how we learn kerning. That's how we learn differences between subtle differences between typefaces. And I'm the same way. I'm like, scanner, printer, paper. I'm trying to learn computer crap. What am I doing? And it ended up that those two teachers were the best thing I had because I realized really, really quickly why my stuff was so ugly. And it's because I didn't know all the stuff that they went on to teach me, right? And so the second day of classes, I go into Chuck's class, you know, tough guy, you're going to fail. And half the class was missing. Half the class was gone. And I remember he said, he goes, you know, a lot of people dropped out of this class and that's the way I wanted it. He's like, I'm a big jerk. I'm not that big of a jerk like I showed you guys on the first day. But I'm glad we got rid of all the lazy people because I really want to have a lot of fun in this class and I'm going to work hard. And he became a little bit less of a jerk, a lot more like a mentor at that point. And I learned so much in that guy's class. And I learned so much in Jiwon's class about type and about how ugly my stuff was. And they were not afraid to tell me why my stuff was ugly and why somebody else's was way better looking than mine. And so I learned things. I learned things like rule of thirds. And I learned things like typography and when to choose what font, what they mean and what the history is and what they mean to people. I learned things like color theory. I learned things like scale and hierarchy and why you have big objects next to small objects. What does that mean? I learned things that I didn't know anything about, and that stuff is what made my After Effects look better. Because that's the end goal. The end goal of all of this wasn't to be a designer. I didn't want to be a designer. I didn't care about design. All design was another set of rules that I could use and another building block of tools and rules that I could snap together to make something that I liked. And it was no different than the Hot Wheels cars. I didn't bring up Hot Wheels. I love Hot Wheels. It was no different from Legos. It was no different from all this stuff that I've been doing. It's no different from music. It was a set of rules that I didn't know that I, when I then did know, made so much more sense to me than and allowed me to snap these things together and then use those in my animations and in After Effects and in the tools that I knew how to use to make my stuff look better and better and better. And that's when it all clicked for me. That's when design went from this thing I didn't really, wasn't really into and was kind of scared to learn and didn't really care for, into this thing, this another obsession that I need to figure this out to make my stuff look good. And once I figured that out, I didn't hate going to my design classes anymore. And I didn't, I actually bought a book about typography, and I actually bought a book about color theory, and learned what all these things mean. What does it mean when people see orange? What does it mean when people see pastel colors? What does it mean when people see blue? What does this typeface mean? What does a serif typeface mean to people? And the psychology behind design, all these things started to unlock for me because I had some pretty good teachers that were hard on me, but also because it finally started making sense to me. And this is the thing that is important, that for me anyway, which is you can't teach me stuff I don't want to learn. This is the reason I hated high school, and this is the reason I hated a lot of schools, because it was all designed to teach me stuff I didn't care about. And yeah, maybe you get a good teacher that gets you into it and gets you to care about it, but in the end, at least for me, if I wasn't interested in it and they weren't entertaining enough to teach it to me, screw it. I'll take the C. Luckily, I was smart enough to blow everything off and still get a C, see my way through high school. But I did that because I can't. I cannot sit there and learn stuff I'm not into. And design, I think, for a lot of people ends up being that way. Design ends up being that thing that's like, I just want to figure out how to make more 3D fun stuff, and I don't want to learn about all this crap, and I don't want to... you know, learn all these, what are these rules going to teach me, you know, but these rules are there as building blocks. These rules are there as Legos ready to connect together to build bigger objects that nobody's created before. And if you can find that hook into design, then I think it's better in the long run. If you can find that hook into whatever you're doing. And here's, like I said at the beginning, this is my story. This is the way I got into stuff. This is the way I can see back and see how all this stuff connects for me. But if your path of learning, if your path of getting into stuff is different, if you got into this for a different reason, you need to find that reason, and you need to make sure that you're aligning all those reasons with what you want to learn. And in some ways, it all comes back to, you know, I guess we'll be talking about this in a minute, about how to be creative and about finding the way that you work. Because in the same way that I said, you're not going to teach me stuff I don't want to learn, I think that a lot of people have that mindset. And it's not until you see somebody makes sense for you, they teach it in a way that makes sense for you, that you start to get into it. It's the same with my music teacher. I had a classically trained scales, whip my knuckles when I screwed up kind of music teacher, and that was not the teacher that I needed. But then I had one that was like, listen, it's just three chords. You want to play blues? It's three chords. That's all you need to know. Three chords and a scale, you're done. That's blues. Fucking, that's awesome. That's it. Those are the building blocks. It's like, well, you know, it's hard. You got to learn some stuff. You got to figure out a lot of things around it. But the building blocks of blues are three chords and a scale. And that's all you need to know. Listen to any song, and it's all there. 12-bar, three-chord blues. And then it started to make sense. So there are people that learn by the other teacher. There are people that learn in that army kind of strict do-what-I-say situation. There are people that learn in a more soft, huggy, you know, fun situation. There are people that learn in all different ways. The reason I'm telling you the story isn't to say learn like I did, but figure out that hook. Figure out the way that you learn and approach all those things that you do want to get into in that way, or find the teacher that teaches you in that way. You don't need to go on eBay anymore to go find VHS tapes full of training to show you how to do stuff. It's like Google solved that problem for you guys. And the internet solved the problem for you guys. And you can find teachers that teach in millions of ways. And that's what's really cool about Hyper Island, too, is they allow you to go learn the way that you want to learn and then come into class, and not even class, I don't know, what do you call it? Not class. Come into a room full of other creative people and do your work and do a project and learn from each other. And then go home, and if you want to go, you know, learn about whatever, you can go do that. And the internet makes that possible, and Google makes that possible. And now you can go find those teachers that teach the way you want. A lot of schools don't have that. They have that teacher you have to go learn from, no matter how they teach. I think you guys are pretty lucky to have that situation where you can go learn the way that you need to learn, because I think that's really important. If you get the wrong teacher, and it's not that they're a bad teacher or a good teacher, it's that they're not speaking your language. And there's a study done of this test, and the test that they give was this really written down kind of test, and they give it to a bunch of people, and the scoring went kind of, let's say the scoring was, you know, 20% got an A, or 10% got an A, 20% got a B, 50% got a C, and all the way down, right? There's like a way of scoring. Well, then what they did is they changed the test. It was similar questions, but it was a visual test. It was a picture-based test. And the answers and the questions were similar, but it was just the way that the questions were laid out. And they got the results back from the same crew, and the results were identical, 10, 20, 50%, but the names were different. Different people learned and took tests and recreated events different ways. And just by changing the way that the test was built, you're actually getting different people with A's. Maybe the A people on the written test are now C's just because you made it pictures. And that's the important part, is figuring out the way that you learn and approaching it that way. So really, Google's your friend at that point. So where are we? So I'm talking a lot about myself, which I always do. But I want to talk about how to be creative with all this stuff. So you figured out the way you want to learn. You found the right online teachers. You found the right school. You're in a place. You know what you want to do. You know that you you're obsessed over stuff. That's a big part of it, is finding out what you obsess over. If you're getting into something because you think there's a market there, this is a bigger problem in the States than it is here. But if you're getting into something because you think there's money at the end, or you're getting into something because your friend's into it, it doesn't work out very well because you're not into it. You're not putting the hours in. You're not saying no thanks to your friends for a couple of weekends so you can stay at home and learn more about what you're obsessed over. And that's really what makes the difference on a lot of creative people. But when they say, you know, how do I be creative? How do you be creative? How do you create things? The answer is different for everybody. And it's actually something I've struggled with as a guy that stands up and waves his arm around about how to be creative and get paid, is it is different for everybody. That's why I give you my path, and that's why you should listen to other people's paths. And you should see what connects with you. But being creative is different. I can't take a piece of white paper and make something out of it, except for like a paper airplane. I can make a really good paper airplane. But if they handed me a piece of paper and said, make a good story, I would screw up. Or I would just kind of sort of copy a really good story that I've seen before and try to pass it off as my own. Just kidding. So, but really, I would have kind of no start on that, because that's not the way my brain works. I need a set of rules to go on. Now, the best way I work as a creative person, the best work that I've done when I was creative, when I was paid to be creative, was when there were really, really strict deadlines when there were really strict rules, when there were already all the pieces were laid out on the table, when they came in with a box and they said, here's what we have to build, and it needs to be as cool as it can be, and we only have 2 days, man, I was ready. Because then there was like, okay, well, there's this logo, and we can put that here, and then, oh, well, their colors are this, so now we can, there's only 3 colors we need to work with. And we only have 3 days, so all this stuff's just going to go in the garbage. We're not even going to worry about that crap, because we only have 3 days. And now I can take this logo and these 3 colors and this concept, this kind of half-baked, half-assed concept maybe somebody else had, and try to make it better. Because then I had friction. Then I had something to grab onto. I had something to snap together and create something better than that was just a mess on the table. And that's when I knew I was doing my best work, was when it was pieces of the puzzle that I needed to put together, and I could see it, I could envision it, and I had the skills at the end of the day to actually create that, you know, the tools. All those things could come together, and I could act like I was a creative person, because I don't consider myself a white paper, creative, acid trip, flying monkeys, or, you know, that's just Wizard of Oz. I said flying monkeys because that's Wizard of Oz. But there's, I couldn't sit here and think about something more creative than that's already, you know, been made. But if you give me a set of restrictions, I'm on it. So, and that's why I got into things like taking a photo a day. I had a big thing with photography for a while, and just took a photo a day, and I that was my only rule. I wanted to post a photo on a website once a day, and it should look as good as it can. And that was like it. Those were the restrictions. So what that made me do is shoot a lot of photos every day, because a lot of them were ugly. It made me read about photography. It made me learn more about what I was doing and about what all these buttons did. And it was that limitation of knowing that I had to post a photo a day that allowed me to focus and not worry about all this other crap. I didn't have to worry about, you know, 3-point lighting if I didn't have to. I didn't have to worry about, you know, a client. All I had to worry about was posting a photo a day, and I could focus on being better. I made the 5-second projects, which are a part of my website, for that reason. I think a lot of, I assume that I'm not a total weirdo, although I'm pretty weird, but I assume that I'm not totally crazy, and a lot of other people struggle to figure out what to make, and they don't have this, I'll just make something on the weekend, it's in my head already kind of attitude. But instead, what the 5-second project says is it has to be 5 seconds long, and it has to do with this theme. And hopefully those are good boundaries for people to grab onto and snap those together into a creative piece that doesn't take too much time, that's very short. That was the other thing I figured out while I was working. I worked really, really well in short deadlines. Give me 3 days, give me a day, give me 4 hours, I'm your man. But if we have a 4-month project, I'm going to dick around for like 3.5 months. And then I'm going to work. You know, I'm going to work those last 2 weeks. And that's just the way I approach things. So figuring out how to be creative is more about figuring yourself out. It's figuring out what gets you in the mood to create stuff, what gets you going. You know, like if a lot of coffee and cigarettes is your thing, although you shouldn't smoke, or snooze, right? That's the thing on here, right? But if that's the thing, then that's the thing. Like, if that gets you going, if that's what motivates you to like sit there, if loud music in your headphones is your thing, then put yourself in that situation. If well-rested night, and you wake up and you do a little yoga, and you do a little running, and you have a hot tea, and you dance the Macarena or whatever, and that's your thing, that's your creative zone, then that's what you should do. That's how you should set up your work. That's how you should set up your space. I liked music. I liked a lot of coffee, a whole lot of coffee. And I liked not being bugged. I liked putting my headphones on and ignoring other people and doing my work. And that's how I tried to set up my creative space. And that's not too easy, but I had to figure out how to do that, because that's what people pay me for, is to be creative. And if I'm in a loud space with crappy music on and I haven't had my coffee, I don't think I'll be making great, great work, right? Yes, please.
I think creativity is a combination of both motivation and inspiration. So maybe hopefully it can give you motivation and, for example, maybe music can give inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to think about it. But I also think, like, everyone has those hooks, right? Everyone has, like, my hook was coffee and music, and if it's motivation and inspiration, you could look at it that way and say, what's gonna motivate me to sit here for 8 hours, and what's gonna inspire me to create, to connect all these objects together to create something cool? And a lot of times my motivation is that I like making cool stuff, and my inspiration, I guess, is that I don't know about inspiration sometimes. I sometimes think it's like a fake word. I think if you need inspiration, you're in the wrong job, maybe. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you get down, or sometimes you're not inspired, or you're not feeling it, right? But a lot of times inspiration is like that last mile in a marathon or something, where you have already done a lot of really good work, but you just need that push to the end. Inspiration is like a later thing to me, I think. You know what I mean? It's like, I've already put in all this energy, and all I have to do is do that last thing that I hate doing, and now it's out. Like, all I have to do is save it as a JPEG and upload it to my server and do all and name it, naming photos. I hated that. So, like, all those things, I needed the inspiration to, like, get past that crap. But up till then, I was doing stuff I liked doing, and I didn't need inspiration in a way. But I like that stuff. So we're going to do... we're here for 2 hours, right? So I'll ramble on for a little bit more, and then we'll have, like, all Q&A, nothing but that kind of stuff, because I like that. I like thinking about that stuff. So the other thing I think people talk about when they say you need to be creative now, and that's where I think a lot of you are headed, or hopefully are headed, is in a job or in a situation where you're getting paid to be creative. And a lot of people talk about that not just as you making stuff that hasn't been made before, but also in the way that you need to do work, right? And the best way to do work is getting into that, like, zone thing. I think we'll touch on this inspiration stuff too a little bit, and being in the zone. You know, you guys heard of, like, being in the zone, and there's athletes talk about this stuff. And what it usually means is time kind of disappears, and you're just doing what you like doing, and you're doing a really good job usually at it, and you're working for hours and hours and hours, and you don't even realize it. You look up, and then it's 3 a.m, and you've done all this work. For me, it's that last 2 weeks in a 4-month project when I seem to hit the zone. It's never the week I get the assignment. It's always like, all right, the deadline's coming. I know what I want to do. I need to sit down and do it. And now, 8 hours later, I get up from my machine and I realize I haven't even, like, hit the bathroom all day, right? Which is dangerous. But sometimes that happens. Sometimes you hit the zone. Sometimes you get in there. And the way that I think that zone, or they call it flow, too. There's a really good book called Flow that talks a lot about this. And I won't even try to pronounce his name. His cheek set me high, I want to say. But the way he talks a lot about this is... that you can, the best way to be in that zone, the best way to be in flow, is to do something that you almost know how to do, that's just beyond what your current skill level is, and that is something that you really want to achieve. So if you sit down to make a Pixar movie, and you don't know anything about 3D yet, well, you're going to get frustrated that it doesn't look like a Pixar movie, and then you're going to go home. But if, on the other side, if you sit down to do something you've done 100 times already, you're going to get distracted, you're going to get bored. This is just going to be a job at that point. You're like, I've done this so many times, it's just a formula, this is no fun. You're going to be distracted, you're going to hit the internet, and you're not going to be in that zone. But when you're in a place where you know you can do it, you're just one step away from being able to know how to do it, research how to do it, or try it, and it's right beyond your current skill level and you want to do it, that's when all of a sudden 5 hours goes by and you're obsessed with creating this thing and you're researching and you're trying different things, you're saving out 50 versions, and later down the road, you end up with hopefully a solution, right? And it's getting into this zone, I think, in this flow area where a lot of people, when they say, how do I be creative? How can I be more creative? How can I make more stuff? It's about figuring out how to put more hours in. And I didn't talk a lot about hours, but a lot of this stuff just comes down to hours. A lot of this stuff is tricking your brain into putting in the hours up front. A lot of this stuff is things like figuring out how you learn, things like finding the right music and that way that you get into stuff. All that stuff is just tricks to put your butt in a seat for hours and figure this crap out. Because there's no trick to it. There's just a lot of trying out ugly stuff until it looks better. At least that was my way into it. It wasn't just one day it started looking better. Although picking the right colors really helped a lot. But it wasn't just one day when all of a sudden it all came together. It's a slow, slow build, and it's a lot of dang hours. And the secret of it, there's no secret. The trick of it for me was that I needed to find my hook into it so I could spend more hours. And hours make all the difference. There are things like learning about design from other people that will save you hours. Instead of you figuring out why it's ugly, I would have never figured it out. I would have looked at my stuff and said, I hit all the right buttons, I did all the right stuff, and why is it still ugly? And my colors still would have been bright, bright green and bright, bright blue and bright, bright red next to each other, which makes your eyes hurt. I couldn't figure that out until somebody told me, until a smart teacher said, those colors suck, and your eyes don't respond to those. And so by figuring that out, I could then steal hours away from them and put them inside of me. And that's the best part about learning. And that's the best part about the internet. And that's the best part about all this stuff that you can learn from, is that you can go steal all those hours from other people that put the hours in already, hopefully learn a couple things that you can apply to your work and make it better. This is why everything gets better. It's not just technology. It's not just faster chips and faster video cards and better Photoshop. I mean, I'm talking about video, but if you look at print stuff, that stuff, the technology's been the same forever. And it gets better. It gets better every year because other people are stealing other people's time and things that they've learned, and they soak it in, and then they apply their own hours into it, and it moves forward. And now you have this person that has the collective wisdom of millions of people inside of them that then they can go and teach the next person, and they can go teach the next person. And this is how I'm way off track now. But this is how things get better and better. So definitely, if you find somebody that's doing killer work and has a blog and is trying to describe to you how they work, watch it. Why not? See how they get into it. And if they get into it and it's not the way that you get into it, and you're not vibing with it, that's not your person. But there are so many people now that are willing to share their knowledge, that are willing to explain or try to explain how they do things. My buddy James does this. People write books about this stuff. I like Seth Godin. He's known as a marketer guy, but he also talks a lot about how to do work, how to do the work that you like to do and get paid to do it. Smart guy to listen to. So figure out where those things are. Grab a glass of water. A couple more things, and then we break, right? Is that how that goes? Yeah. Take a break, and then we'll come back, and then we'll do Q&A. We'll talk about anything. We don't have to talk about this. We can talk about my ugly website, or we could talk about my reel, or we can talk about what you guys... I want to know what you guys are up to, what challenges you guys are facing, what you're stuck on, and then we can apply this to the room and learn from each other and figure out, and maybe also figure out that you're not the only one stuck on a problem. We could all kind of hash it out in here a little bit. So, three more things. I want to talk about making a lot of stuff. And if you've seen me talk before or seen me on the internet, whatever, you probably already know this. But making a lot of stuff and, like I said, putting the hours in is all the difference. Making ugly stuff until it looks better was the secret. I can't Okay, I gotta stop saying secret. Everybody go, woo, if I say secret again. That'll teach me. But it's making a lot of stuff and making it a habit to put out and create a lot of stuff is always a good idea. Even if half of it's ugly, your good stuff will be better if the uglier your ugly stuff is, if that makes sense. In other words, the more stuff you put out, the better it will be, even though half of it sucks. And there's a lot of examples with this in like inventors and Edison and the million light bulbs he built before the good one came out. But it's all about creating stuff until you find your hooks into things too. And that's the other thing. You may make a bunch of ugly stuff and all of a sudden you hook into something that makes sense. For me, it was like colors. You know, I'm real simple when it comes to design. I'm real simple when it comes to this stuff. That's because, you know, you could probably see that in my like poorly kerned logo. But it's also, I don't have a logo, right? Because I don't know. I don't know how to make a logo. I never learned. But what I did learn is I needed to know about typography for motion design, and then I learned it as much as I could and applied it. But it's not about, it's about taking the rules that you learn and ignoring the rest, because there's so much of it. And when I say put the hours in and make a whole bunch of ugly stuff, you're figuring out where your hooks are. At least for me, it was figuring out where my hooks hooked into the design. And I said, when I make things really, really large and then put really small things next to it and make it gray and orange and white, usually looks pretty good. I could do that. I can handle that. And truthfully, that's as much as I know about design. I try to apply those things to other people's work when I got paid to do it, but it was always in my framework. And you know, there's a lot of probably teachers that would frown upon that and say, well, you don't know all the rules, and you're not a true artist, you're not a true designer, and that's okay with me. I just wanted to connect a bunch of Legos together and make it look good. And whatever they say about my design skills, that's cool, because that's not the goal. The goal for me was to make it look as good as possible. And for me, and hopefully you find your hooks, I'll stop talking about me. When you find your hooks, take them. Take that hook and put it in your pocket and use it again. When you get stuck, try it. When you get stuck, make it big. I like that idea. When I get stuck with something, a little technical design, I'll make one part of it really large. Sometimes that helps. It's a trick. It's a thing in my pocket. That's all. It's a tool. It's another building block. It's another thing I can grab onto and try. And by putting all the hours in, you're figuring out what those hooks are for you. You're also figuring out all the ugly stuff that you made and not what to do. Or maybe what you can work on in the future, right? But by making a lot of stuff, you're doing a lot of good. Mostly, you're making it to not only figure out what you're doing good and what you're doing bad, but it's also just to hit a deadline. I speak a lot about deadlines. I think deadlines make it all for me. When I say I don't do my job until the 2 weeks before it's due, it's because of the deadline. If the deadline was whenever you get it done, I'd never do it. I'd never do it. But as soon as they say I need it in 4 weeks, I think around in my head for 3 weeks, and I work for one, and then it's done. Give yourself deadlines, because then and always, always, always hit those deadlines. Don't let yourself miss a deadline. It's like when they say, like, oh, you go into the gym or something, or working out more, or whatever, right? They're like, just go every day. You don't even have to, like, lift the weight. Just go. But by going every day, you're training yourself to wake up and go. While you're there, you might as well lift a couple weights and run. But the main part is hitting the deadline. It's not about making it as good as... it's not about always making it beautiful. It's not about, oh, I need one more day and this is going to be great. It's about hitting the deadline and moving on to the next one. So I want to talk about fear. I want to talk about how doing all this stuff and making all this stuff and making a bunch of ugly stuff pushes you past what I think gets in the way of a lot of creative people is the fear of making ugly stuff. And I still have that fear. I've always had that fear. I'm not a designer. I don't make beautiful things by default. And I really don't think most people do. I think a lot of people sit and work and work and work and they release their beautiful things. And the best way you can get to that point is by releasing ugly things and being scared that the next thing you're going to put out is also ugly. And so fear isn't a negative word. Fear actually helps. Fear of knowing that whatever you're doing tomorrow is going to be shown in class, that freaks me out. That freaks a lot of people out. I got to show this in front of people, and they get to critique it, and they get to give me feedback. That should be fearful. That should scare you. And getting through that fear, and not even getting through that fear, embracing the fear and understanding that it's just a part of the process, and understanding that everyone else, especially in school, is in your same situation, should help in the long run. And what it really should do is make you put that extra hour in, you know, or find that hook so you can put that extra hour in. I should be more clear. Just putting an hour in when you're not into it isn't going to do anybody any good. But when you know that you're going to show it tomorrow in class, and you're a little scared about that because it's not looking as good as it was in your head, and it's not looking as good as this guy's, that should make you scared. And it should make you put the extra hours in. Or again, find that hook to trick your brain into putting that extra hour in. Because that's the way to, that's the only way to get better. I talked about critique. You know, make sure you're always getting critique about that stuff. And learn from others. I said a little bit about this earlier. Learn from how other people are doing it. If somebody else's type or their color or their whatever is awesome, ask them. Say, I don't know. Saying, I don't know is the best thing I've ever learned to do. Saying, man, why does my stuff look so bad? Is the best thing I've ever said to anybody. Because they actually, all the guards are down. They don't have to tiptoe around anymore. They don't have to give me something good before they give me something bad. I'm not saying like, hey, check this out. What do you think? Because you know what you tell that person? You say, hey, good job. But if you say, why is this so ugly? And why is this kerning not look right? Or why does whatever? Then somebody can go, well, I think it's this and this and this and this and this. And now you're learning from somebody that probably knows what they're talking about, especially if you like their work. And if you like... You imagine the people on people on the internet, let's say you have some heroes and you have posters or animations or whatever, stuff that you like. Wouldn't it be great to go up and ask them, like, why is your stuff so great? Well, you can do that in any room you're in. And the best way to be in that room is to be in a room full of people that are way better than you so that you can tap them on the shoulder and ask them why it sucks, because they have all this knowledge to kind of push your way. So if you have a classmate and... It's not that they're better or worse, it's that they know type way more than you do, or they know color way more than you do, or they know animation way more than you do, or they know how to use lens flares more than you do, or better than you do. Whatever that is, why not ask them why your lens flares look like crap? You're going to get some really good feedback. So saying I don't know and being, it's not even being humble, it's just saying like, hey, I'm trying over here, why does this suck? And realizing what your weak points are and asking other people is such a huge way to learn. Give that a shot. Bug your friends. And if they give you shit, just tell them I sent you. So real quickly, we can talk about this more after the break. Everyone always asks, how do I get the job? How do I take all this fun stuff I want to do and actually go get a paycheck for it and live my life around making this type of stuff that I like doing, whatever you're into, and living off of it. And one is, you know, Google's your friend at this point. You know, learn as much as you can from everybody that's willing to teach. You know, even if you only agree with half of what somebody's saying, take what makes sense to you, like I said at the beginning. Take what makes sense to you from what other people say. Ignore the rest. Take what already truly makes sense to the way that you learn, the way that you do things, and push it in your own work, and just try it. Give yourself a deadline based on something that somebody else said that resonated with you. Put it in your work and try it. Do it the next day. And essentially that means be better. Be better every day. Slowly move toward being a better designer, being a better animator, being a better whatever you're into, being a better coder, being a better... You guys have so much cool stuff around here, I don't know. Be a part of the community. School's a good start. It's one of the you know, especially in those other schools I talked about, the other 80-20 schools, that's one of the best things they're actually getting, is the ability to connect with other people and be able to have a community of people around you that are all kind of in it together. And this not only helps you kind of get excited, it also gives you a little bit of competition and the ability to see how other people work, but it also allows you, as far as the jobs are concerned, a lot of connections and a lot of ins on where other people are working. So especially, geez, you guys send out the most creative, talented dudes and ladies out into the world, and they're going to have these jobs in, I mean, I've been here 3 times now, and I know people from that moved to the States, that moved to London, that moved to Brazil, that moved to, and that's just here, right? You're going to know these people. You're going to be surrounded by them. So really take advantage of being around such talented people and smart people. And when it comes to the job aspect of it, being nice and being friends with people and having a similar experience. You guys, I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. You guys are already here. You're already doing it, right? But the other stuff you could do is all, you could do this online. You could be in a community online. If there's a thing that you're really into, let's say, I'll take 3D because that's what I'm into lately. Let's say you're really into modeling and there's not a lot of modelers around. There's a lot of motion graphics, maybe people or something. But you're really into modeling and you just don't have that group of people around to go tap on the shoulder, like I said. Well, you can go into forums and not just general forum. You can find the modeling nerd forum and go bug them and tap them on the shoulder and have a group of people that are willing to talk to you. So get out into the community and start a community. That's a really great way to put your name in a situation where you can then maybe meet people that are also hiring. If there's not a, you know, Carlos Corona designer nerd meetup, why not start one? Why not be that person that says, we're all going to go, and it doesn't have to be a projector, and it doesn't have to be all this crap. It could just be like a couple drinks, or it could be just a little pizza party, or whatever the heck it is. But it's just a bunch of people in a room all talking about what they're into. And if you're the motion graphics nerd club, or you're the typeface nerd club, or you're the C++ nerd club, or whatever it is, go start it. And meet up with people and be friends with these people. These are people you're going to work with. And hopefully that's the idea behind it. And last thing before we take a break is really, really, really figure out how you learn. And I know I've said it like 5 times, I guess, but that lately has really been hitting home with me in the way that I realized that I'm not going to, I wouldn't listen to people no matter how much they told me I needed to know all this stuff. I never listened to people. And that's, I think, where a lot of people come from. It was only when I figured out how I learn and how I hook myself into things that I get into that I then sought and found the people that taught me the way that I needed to be taught. And that was really hard. In high school, I didn't have that luxury. And in college, for the most part, I didn't have that luxury. I had a few good teachers. But now you guys have that luxury. The ability for you guys to Google search and find 400 people that are into whatever you're into right now and learn from them and find the way that they learn and latch onto them and watch everything they do is the way that I've learned so much of what I know by watching how other people do it. And I really think that's a big, big piece of the puzzle in all this stuff, because it all comes down to hours. It all comes down into being better. And the only way you can put the hours in and the only way you could be better by those hours is figuring out those hooks and figuring out the way that you you learn. We're going to take a break. How long? 10. You're getting 10. So we'll take 10 and we'll be back. Get a question ready. I want to know where you guys are as far as all this stuff. If I'm full of shit, you tell me. Be back in 10. Thanks, guys. Thank you.